This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. And omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but in the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Amen. Just ending tonight at the words of verse 31. We know the Lord will add his blessing upon the reading. Nation of Israel are again on the move. They leave the place called Elim. They're on their way on their journeys toward Mount Sinai. And the Lord was to provide for them in terms of giving them manna. And men and women, when we consider the manna that we have read about tonight, then surely we're brought to consider Christ. For as with other passages, the Savior is to be seen even in these verses. And the Lord himself presented that truth. That's not something that we're just making out there. That sounds good. Because if you consider John chapter 6, when he taught in the temple, he said then, he is the bread of life that came down from heaven. Just think of some of the aspects of the manna here that typifies Christ. He is noted in its substance. In verse 4, it is spoken as bread from heaven. This was a substantial food, and in that light, it is a true picture of the true bread given to us in Christ. What about the size? We're told over again that it's small in size. It was minute. Even the words of verse 14, when the dew that lay upon was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small, round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when Christ came into this world as the only Savior and provision for sinful mankind, he was but a babe in arms. He came and was born in Bethlehem in Little Ephratah. That little place, that little town of Bethlehem. He came to a small nation and he gathered around him just a small group of disciples. So there's food for thought there, no pun intended, of course. And with the manna, there was no jagged edges. We've read in that verse 14 that it was round. And so something that's round is not difficult to eat. The Lord is revealed as a suitable Savior for everyone. Its color reminds us of His purity. Its taste reminds us of His sweetness, because we've read verse 31, it was likened to honey. And those are just some wee things that we can see how the Lord is typified by the manna. You see, dear child of God, this manna brings us to the thought of the fullness of the Savior. And don't we remember that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that's just what I want to bring to your attention in the remaining minutes. The fullness of Christ as it's typified in the man. I want you to think of, first of all, of our appreciation of that fullness. To fully appreciate what is ours in Christ, we must understand something about God's provision and God's ways and his dealings. And that is what the apostle brings out to the church of Ephesus. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 19. He says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." His desire was that these believers would be filled with all the fullness of God, but they had to know the love of Christ. And these verses will help us in that. Think how the children of Israel had been blessed. How they had received divine intervention just weeks prior to where we are in Exodus chapter 16. How the Lord intervened at Marah. How we considered even in the Sunday evening of how the Lord dealt with them at Elim. And being mindful of that, isn't it difficult to contemplate verse 2 of chapter 16? They've just left Elim. And yet it says the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. That's hard to take in. How the Lord had caused the bitter waters to be made sweet. How he brought them just a little further along to those 12 wells of water and plenty of shade. And now a little distance off and they're murmuring again. They've gone back to the old ways of murmuring. And that was certainly an instance of unbelief and downright ingratitude. But instead of God pouring out his wrath upon them, he deals with them in grace. And he does so, verse 4, by raining bread from heaven for them. That's grace. Mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve. Grace is God bestowing upon us what we don't deserve. And both of those can be seen even in these verses. God withheld from this murmuring people that which they deserved, and that manna was something that they didn't deserve. And you know, the more we progress in our Christian journey, and the more we realize that he has dealt with us mercifully and graciously, we don't deserve the blessings that we have in Christ. We only deserve his wrath because of our sin. Yet he sent down to us the true bread of heaven, the bread of life. And the more we see this loving consideration, then surely the more we appreciate the fullness of what is ours in Christ. I think it's a natural tendency. We don't really appreciate what we have until it's missing. I suppose we've learned that lesson. That's one lesson we've learned over this past year. Don't really appreciate being able to go into a family and sit down liberally and hug them when you leave them. We miss those things in the year that has passed. Do we really appreciate the fullness of what is ours in Christ? You note the timing here. You see, it was after the children of Israel murmured. And you want a sample of that, the murmuring. Just look at verse 3. Children of Israel said unto him, then would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh plots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And you can imagine them saying this against Moses and against Aaron. But look at it. It's after that they were murmuring in that spirit. And there's some words of it. That in verse 4, then we see of what God did. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. The nation were not reaching out unto God. They were murmuring against God's Spirit, but God condescended to them. And that manna that came from heaven, it fell right down into their encampment. Every morning, the small pieces of bread appeared with the dew. And you know, similarly in Christ, God has condescended. He has stooped down to our low estate. Although there was none that sought after God, yet he reached down to us in the person of Christ. And having taken unto himself a body prepared for him, he came to right to where we were. And the dew of heaven, the blessed Holy Spirit, brings him close to us and reveals him personally to us, just as the morning dew did for the nation of Israel. You might also think that there was a continuation of this blessing for them. You look at the words we didn't read in verse 35. The children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. Until they came to a land inhabited, they did eat manna until they came onto the borders of the land of Canaan. That's like a little summary. Because, of course, they're not near Canaan yet. They're just on their way to Mount Sinai. Chapter 22 is where you get the commandments, etc. So they're not anywhere near even the land of Canaan. Chapter 20, I should have said, where the commandments are. Just think of that, for 40 years. That means the Lord sent enough manna into the camp for 14,600 days. 2,080 weeks. Throughout those wilderness wanderings, they enjoyed God's continual provision. For 40 years, they didn't have to plow fields. They didn't have to sow seed. They didn't have to irrigate the land. They never had to reap one crop. Until they arrived in Canaan, where they would grow their own crops, the Lord miraculously sent down those heavenly supplies persistently right in the middle of the desert. Every night before they went to bed, they were without bread in their tents. But they could sleep well, knowing that on the morning dew, God would provide what was needed. For 40 years. And you know that challenges us. Dare we doubt the same God tonight? In his ability to provide, in his ability to protect, or whatever aspect that you want to mention in your own heart, dare you doubt the Lord, the same God? We can trust in the sufficiency of Christ to continually be our portion through this dry and thirsty land spiritually. So there's the appreciation of that fullness. But I want you to notice also the appropriation of his fullness. You see, while we've noted God's provision and we can only appreciate what he did for them, and we, I trust, begin to understand, to appreciate what we have in Christ. We have a position in the Lord tonight we once never had. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're part of God's family and fold. We have all the blessings bestowed upon us. The storehouses of heaven are open and are at our disposal. We have all those things. Yet don't forget this. You see, the children of Israel had the responsibility of going out and gathering it unto themselves. It's just the same truth as we learned at Marah. It wasn't enough to see the tree. It wasn't enough to speak about the tree. Moses had to appropriate that tree down into the bitter waters. And so with the manna, it was to be appreciated, yes. But it was also to be applied to the nation themselves. And how important that is seen to be and how often it is repeated within this passage. You look at the words of verse 16, I'll just give you some. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating. Verse 17, children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. Verse 18, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much, he that gathered little. Verse 21, and they gathered it every morning. And you can go on down, you'll find other verses where the same truth is brought out. The people, when they first saw it, they didn't know what it was. Moses had to explain it to them, what it was, verse 15. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And you know, wasn't that also the case with us? Until Christ was revealed to our hearts, we were ignorant of who he really was. Many of us were brought up in Christian homes. Many of us were brought up under the preaching of the gospel. And we could sit for years and years under the preaching of the gospel, but we didn't really know who Christ was. Not until he was revealed to us by the power of his Spirit. And as the children of Israel were commanded to gather the manna, so we must take Christ to ourselves. And I'm not speaking just merely at the point of conversion and in salvation, but we must appropriate his fullness in our spiritual journey. And just note some things about this. You see, there was bread for every appetite. Verse 16, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and homer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Three times over there, the command was given to gather bread for every man. There was ample provision for everyone in the camp. And Christ is sufficient and he's adequate for every believer. Everyone in the body of Christ can feed on this living bread. His fullness is for each and every one of us. Everyone has a different appetite in the natural sense. Some of us have more and bigger ones than some of you. And we hear the old saying, you are what you eat, don't we? Well, you know, it was the same in the camp of Israel. Because if you look at the words of verse 17, children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. Just the same there. There probably was obesity in those days as well. Or overweight, or whatever you want to call it. Verse 18, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. There's a difference in appetite. And men and women, that underlines to us that the Christian life is a personal experience with the Lord. Some have a better appetite spiritually than others. Some give priority to the prayer meeting, others don't. Some give priority to saying that little word or praying that the Lord will open up an opportunity, others don't. We're not to judge those who may appropriate less are more of Christ to themselves. We begin to know the Lord when we first partake of him, but we know him as we daily partake of him also. And the more we know him, and the more we'll desire to enter into that fuller experience and knowledge of him. You see, that was true of the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, the words of verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless that I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He considered the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 10, that I may know him. and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, he was willing. Whatever way the Lord led him, even to bear those sufferings. Because his yearning was that I may know him. He's an old, aged apostle by this time, and yet he still had that desire to know more of the fullness of Christ. There's bread for every appetite. There's bread for every age. The manna was a small round thing. I've already touched on that. It wasn't just given to one group of people within the camp. It was round in shape. That meant it could be eaten by the youngest and the oldest and everyone in between. Each one of them would find it agreeable. It was easily swallowed and digested. And does not the suitability of the manna not point us to the suitability of the Lord Jesus Christ? Charles Simeon said this, I quote, "All persons in all possible circumstances shall find that he is as much suited to their individual cases as if God had sent him for them alone, and to their palate as though they themselves had chosen what kind of Savior they would have." The manna was gathered in the morning, and yet it was that which was to be eaten throughout the day. Verse 19, Moses said, "Let no man leave it of off till the morning." Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. Some of them left of it until the morning. The bread worms stank. Moses was wroth with them. They gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So they gathered in the morning, but they were able to feed upon it right throughout the day. And so is Christ, in a very practical sense, our living bread. He is our daily and constant portion. He's suitable for any and every time of day. And but it is good, I might say, to feast upon him before we meet the challenges of the world in any given day. Try and have a meal before you go out into your job, into your work, spiritually. For praise his name, he is our all in all. Suitable for every age. Suitable and sufficient for every move. You've seen that the Sabbath is mentioned. That should teach you that the Sabbath laws and other laws weren't merely given in Exodus 20. They were already known. Cain and Abel, I believe, were taught to keep the seventh day as it was in their time, to keep the Sabbath. That's why we read it in chapter 4 that they brought their offerings in the process of days. Gives the sense that at the end of another week they brought their offering. I believe they were taught the Sabbath. And here it is. The Sabbath is mentioned. And the people were to prepare the sixth day, that which would be used on the Sabbath day. Unlike other days, the additional manna gathered on the sixth day, it was preserved from corruption. We've read of how there were those that tried to go against Moses' word, and they tried to keep a bit over, but it stank. The worms were in it. But look at verse 24. It says, "And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bed, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein." There was a miracle in that which they gathered on the sixth day, that it might be preserved also for the Sabbath day. And there was no manna that fell on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. And of course, there were those that, well, they thought they knew better than God. And we read of how they were to go out on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, and there was none. Verse 26. Came to pass, verse 27, that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Still rebelling. Men and women, even by this, God was given a further revelation of his plan, of his provision. I believe that scripture challenges us too. We have lost something of putting aside the Sabbath day. I've said to you from this pulpit before that I was brought up in a house where the preparations were done on the sixth day, Saturday. If you pulled out the old shoe polish on the Sabbath, a cuff around the logo, I'm sure I can appreciate what I'm saying. I've lost it. I've lost it. I'm very conscious. I'm talking to my own heart. I'm talking to God's people here. I just have joined in with the rest of the world, and it nearly has become just another day. Subconsciously. But there was this demarcation here. It's this separation, this sanctifying of the one day in seven. Preparation was to be made the day before. I want you to see that the manna was sufficient to nourish them on their journeys. As long as each person partook of the manna, then no one became weak, no one became indifferent or lethargic. The daily allotment, the portion for the Sabbath, proved to be adequate for their needs. And that was, of course, what the Lord had promised in verse 12. For he says there, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. Ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. They will be filled with bread. Men and women, we again have the comparison with Christ. For as God's Holy One, he never saw corruption. And he is our sufficiency. In all of his fullness, the Lord is all that we need. And that means there is no reason why any should be feeble or faint along the way in the path of carrying out God's will. He has given us what is needed for us. He has given us the food for our souls. We ought to partake of Christ day and daily. And so let us make sure that we progress. And that we advance in our earthly pilgrimage in this world. That we appropriate him every day to our souls. And that we move on and we minister going forward in the sufficiency of our heavenly bread. For never forget this. The Lord is not a supplement. No way that sort of stuff is sold to us today. You have your meal, but here's a supplement to add to it. Christ is not a supplement. Christ is not a little tidbit. Christ is not a mere aspect of some meal spiritually. He is the entire meal. He is all in all. And that means digesting, for he is Christ in us. And to digest your meal and to digest Christ, then it takes time. It takes time to think, to meditate upon him. Takes time to be set aside every day for that godly exercise. You take time to sit down for your physical meals, or you should. No different spiritually. And you see, that being so, then we'll grow in him. And others will see it. And you just think, as Israel marched through the wilderness and they had the manna for 40 years, the flesh in the evening, and the other nations could look upon them and the other nations could see them as Israel, as a strong people on the move. And that's the picture that we ought to desire that the ungodly would see in the church of Jesus Christ. There's a strong people. There's a people that's fed and are feeding. We fear lest the picture today is of a people that's fainting instead. May the Lord enable us in these days feast upon Christ and to know more of His fullness as He is our heavenly bread. Amen. The Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight for His own name's sake.